Let us turn tonight to Hebrews chapter 7. For those of you who are visiting with us tonight, I would just mention the fact that we are studying through this letter of Hebrews on Wednesday evening. And tonight we've come to chapter 7, and we'll be looking at the first 10 verses. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. This far in this letter of Hebrews, we have read several times about the Lord Jesus Christ as the believer's high priest. He's already twice told us in this letter that he was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The last verse in chapter 6 we looked at last time is one of those two times. If you notice back in chapter 6, and there's one time before this, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So he's already spoken of Jesus Christ as our high priest. That is, every believer. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we are also told that he was made an high priest with an oath after the order of Melchizedek. Now this man, Melchizedek, he's mentioned in three of the 66 books of the Bible. He's mentioned in Genesis, in Psalms, and here in Hebrews. And I'd like for us to look at those passages. If you will, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 14. This is the first time that he's mentioned. Genesis chapter 14. And beginning in verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother, that is Lot, who was his nephew, but called his brother's son, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he was taken captive by four kings which invaded this area and took all the spoils and took all the people with them. He heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, they were not soldiers. They had not been trained in warfare. They were servants in Abraham's house. But when he heard that Lot had been taken by these four kings and their armies, then he pursues after them. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So all of those who had been captured with all of the goods that were taken away, Abraham, he brings back. He defeats the armies of those kings, and he brings back all the spoils, all the people back with him. And then in verse 17 we read, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. There were five kings, actually, that these four kings conquered and took the people off, and Abram goes after them, defeats the four kings, brings all the spoils back. And notice, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, that is Abram, he gave him tithes of all. So this is the first time that Melchizedek is mentioned here in Genesis chapter 14. When he meets Abram, when he's coming back after defeating those armies, and he meets Abram with bread and wine, and Abram gives unto him the tenth, the tithes, and then he's blessed. This Melchizedek, he blesses Abram. And he blesses him in the name of the Most High God. Now, the next time that Melchizedek is mentioned is in Psalm 110. Psalm 110, he's mentioned in verse 4, but we will read verses 1 through 4. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord God said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. I believe that's the gospel. It has reference to the gospel that went out in the power of the Holy Spirit from Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And since that day, he's been taking captive, he's been releasing captives, those who are captives to Satan. And remember, every lost person is a captive to Satan. Now, most people don't see that. They don't believe that about themselves, but that's what the scriptures teach us. A man or woman who doesn't know Christ is a captive to Satan. The only one who is able to deliver one from this captivity is the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivers his people from captivity. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When the gospel comes, when the gospel is preached, and it's preached in a general way, and sometimes it goes in a person's ear one side and goes out the other side, and that's it. It's just like water off a duck's back. But in God's purpose, the gospel comes to his people, his elect people, in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and his people who before were dead in trespasses and sins are made willing to be saved on God's terms. Willing to confess themselves as bankrupt sinners, having nothing, not able to do anything, not possible for them to contribute one iota to their salvation, but they're made willing to cast everything, their soul, upon Jesus Christ, the Savior. They're made willing in the day of His power. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday. The Lord has sworn, here it is, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So He's mentioned in Genesis. He's mentioned here in this psalm. And He's mentioned several times in the letter of Hebrews. Who was Melchizedek? I want you to turn back with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 7. Who was Melchizedek? Who was this man? Well, according to the words in verse 3, if you look, according to the words in verse 3 of our text, he was one, now notice this, made like unto the Son of God. Do you see that? He was made like unto the Son of God. Melchizedek was. There are those who believe that this Melchizedek was one of the Old Testament theophanies. A theophany was an appearance of the Son of God before He became incarnate, but He appeared as a man. And we have several examples of that in the Old Testament. For instance, He appeared to Joshua outside the gates of Jericho. If you want to look at this, turn back with me to Joshua chapter 3, or Joshua chapter 5, rather. Joshua chapter 5. This is called a theophany. Theo is God, and epiphany is an appearance. Theophany. This is one of those here in Joshua chapter 5. If you look at, beginning in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now notice this. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You notice he fell on his face before this one who appeared. And this one did not rebuke him. He received his worship. When Melchizedek, here's my point, when Melchizedek met Abram, Abram did not fall on his face. He did not worship this Melchizedek. He did worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham did worship the Lord Jesus Christ later when those three men appeared to him. Remember, before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, three men appeared unto Abram, and one of them, two of them were angels who went to Sodom the next day, but one of them was an theophany, an appearance of the eternal Son of God as a man. The angels also appeared as men there. But Abraham did fall on his face and worship the Lord at that time. But he did not worship Melchizedek. I do not believe that he was any more than what our text tells us. We would never say, in the case of Joshua, what we read there in Joshua chapter 5, we would never say that man who appeared unto Joshua, the captain of the Lord's host, before whom Joshua fell on his face and worshiped, we would never say that man was like unto the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He was not like unto the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And the same thing about other theophanies in the Old Testament. Who was Melchizedek? He was, as this scripture tells us, he was a type of Christ, made like unto the Son of God. He was, as we will see tonight, a type of Christ who was unique. There are many types of Christ in the Old Testament. That rock that was smitten, that rock was Christ. It was a type of Christ. That bread, that manna that fell every day to sustain Israel, those 40 years in the wilderness was a type of Christ. He is the bread of life that came down from heaven. But Melchizedek, he, as we will see, was a type of Christ in a very unique way, showing forth the greatness of our high priest. That's the whole point here, the greatness of our high priest. We have an high priest, yes. And oh, how great he is. Now let's look here in our text. Let's see how he serves as a type of Christ. First, his office. His office. A priest of the Most High God. You see that in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, both in Genesis and again here, we see, and this is pointed out, this is emphasized, he was a priest of the Most High God. Now, when he met Abram, they were in the land of Canaan. And remember, God eventually dispossessed those pagan nations of Canaan and gave that land to Israel. And one of the reasons that they were dispossessed of the land because of their wickedness, their idolatry. And in idolatry, there were many little gods who were being worshipped, and they had their own priest. But Melchizedek was not a priest of some small wannabe god. He was a priest of the Most High God. We speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest, and he is. But he's God's high priest. He's God's high priest. He's the priest of the Most High God. If you look back to chapter 5 here in Hebrews, we've already seen this. Chapter 5 and verses 4 through 6. The writer said, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, that is to be a priest. You just don't sign up and volunteer for this. Not under the law of God. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, who said this unto him? God did. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we see Melchizedek serves as a type of Christ, first of all, in his office. He was a priest of the Most High God. So is Christ. So is Christ, our high priest. What is the work of a priest? That's interesting, isn't it? What is the work of a priest? We don't have any priest in our church other than all of us who are saved. We've all been made kings and priests unto God. Every child of God is a priest. But the sacrifices that we offer are praise and worship unto God. No blood sacrifice, obviously. No. No blood, no sacrifice for sin. Why? Because that's already been offered once and forever. But why? A priest mediated. That's what a priest was to do. He mediated. Salvation is mediated through the priest, through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to receive salvation The church doesn't mediate salvation. The pastor doesn't mediate salvation. The priest, the high priest, the great high priest. If you want to go to God, you're going to go through him or you're not going to go. Amen. That's all there is to it. That's what God has declared, and that's just so. You can go to these men who call themselves priests in some so-called religion, some churches, you know, they have their priests, but my friends, they're fake. They're false. That's all you can say about them. They can't mediate between your soul and God. Only Christ can do that. Amen. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I preached a funeral several years ago, and there were a number of people there that I had never seen before and have never seen since. But I appreciate what one lady said after the service. Because I had quoted that scripture, John 14:6, she said, I love to hear preachers use that scripture at a funeral. You know, most people get up and talk about, well, they're in a better place. Well, they don't know Christ, they're not. There's only one way to that better place. And Jesus is the way. He's that one priest who mediates between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. All right, second, his name, Melchizedek. He's a type of Christ in his office. He's the priest of the Most High God. He's a type of Christ in his name, Melchizedek. What does that mean? That's a strange-sounding name, isn't it, Melchizedek? What does it mean? Well, thank God that it's defined for us here in verse 2. By interpretation. You see, first being by interpretation. The interpretation, the meaning of this name, Melchizedek. What does it mean? It means, first of all, King of Righteousness. And after that also, King of Salem, which is King of Peace. In Psalm 85 and verse 10, we read, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Here's truth, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Here's mercy. How are they going to be reconciled? How is God going to remain just and justify the ungodly? Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace, they kiss each other, don't they, in the person of Jesus Christ. That's where they meet, in the person of Jesus Christ. It is in the person of the incarnate Son of God that we see mercy and truth meet together. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the writer said, and the Word was made flesh. The Word, the eternal Word, the Son of God, he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mercy and truth, grace and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It is in his work as the sinner's substitute that we see righteousness and peace kiss each other. Christ is both our righteousness and he's our peace. Remember one of his names, Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, but of God he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then in Ephesians 2 and verse 14, the apostle said, for he is our peace. He's our peace. You see, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, forgiveness of sins, all these many blessings, they're all in Christ. Old preacher said one time, you've all heard this old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Drop that basket, you break all your eggs, don't you? But he went on to say, God put all of his eggs in one basket. That is Christ. All the blessings, all the benefits that you and I need, that sinners need, they're all found in Jesus Christ. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you know, people, the world brings this out every year around Christmas time. They bring this scripture out, but few people really understand what the prophecy is. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is, he was a man. He was born a child. Unto us a son is given. He's God's son, right? Who was given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That is, he's the king in of the church and of everything, really. He rules and reigns. And his name shall be called, what's this one going to be called? Who is a son, a child born, rather, and a son given. What's his name? Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, we've looked at his office. I said, first of all, he's a type of Christ in his office, priest of the Most High God, but also by his names, a second office, King. King of Righteousness, King of Salem, King of Peace. His office as priest, yes, but also he is king. And this was prophesied in the book of Zechariah in chapter 6 and verse 13, one of those so-called minor prophets. This is what it said. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. What did he say? Upon this rock I will build my church. It's a spiritual temple, isn't it? His church. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. All the glory belongs to him. It's his church. It's his work of redemption. All the glory, all the praise belongs to him. He shall bear the glory. Now listen, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Melchizedek was both a priest and a king. Righteousness and peace. So he was a type of Christ. Now third, his genealogy. He has none mentioned. His genealogy, he has none mentioned in verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. In order for Melchizedek to be a type of Christ's eternal nature, it was necessary that there be nothing mentioned of his genealogy. He appears because no father or mother is named, as if he had no father or mother. The scripture doesn't say that he didn't have a father or a mother, but there's no genealogy. His father's not named. His mother's not named. We're not told when he was born. We're not told when he died. He just appears. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest, who is declared to be a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if the sacrifice had been offered from the foundation of the world and the purpose of God, then so the priest. So the priest. Robert Hawker asked this question. On the supposition, God the Holy Ghost really intended that Melchizedek should be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, how could he represent the eternity of Christ in any form of words other than in the very words chosen? Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days or end of life. And look at this last thing. His greatness, he's a type of Christ in his office. He's a priest. He's a type of Christ in his name, righteousness and peace. He's a type of Christ in his genealogy. There's nothing mentioned. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And fourth, his greatness. Melchizedek, his greatness in respect to Abram and to the Aaronic priesthood. Notice, if you will, in verse 4. Now consider this. This is what the writer would have believers do. Consider this. Consider this about Melchizedek, this man. Consider how great this man was. How great he was. He's a type of Christ. How great is Christ? Consider this. How great this man was. And I've chosen these three things hurriedly to bring out, but to this man, Abraham gave tithes. That'll show you how great he was. Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, the patriarch of the patriarch who had the promise of the son, the promised son, in thy son, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How great is Melchizedek? He's so great that even Abram paid tithes to him. And secondly, this man blessed Abraham. How great is this man? Well, this man blessed Abraham, the man who had all the promises. Abraham was blessed of Melchizedek, and the scripture here very clearly tells us, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Well, who did the blessing here? Melchizedek. Who's the less? Abraham. Well, you know, to the Jews, and even to believers, he's called the father of believers. Abraham is. And then the third thing, to this man, Aaron. Aaron. Well, who's Aaron? Well, Aaron was the first high priest. And in that old covenant, there was a high priest. And Aaron was that first high priest, and then his sons followed him. But you see, they were in the loins of Abraham. Though they were not yet born, they were in the loins of Abraham. So what the writer is saying, even they paid tithes unto Melchizedek. How great is this man? His greatness is showed by the fact that Abraham paid tithes to him, the father of the nation of Israel. His greatness is showed in that he blessed Abraham and not vice versa. And his greatness is showed in the fact that even Aaron and that whole line of priests under that law, they paid tithes to Melchizedek. Now, I want to ask this question in closing. What should we take from this passage? You know, I've heard people over the years, they like to debate on who Melchizedek was and all of that. And I'm sure that's interesting. But really, what should we take from this passage? Well, this is my take from it. We know that the old covenant with its priesthood was typical, and it was always going to be replaced by a new covenant. And just as that old covenant had its priest, so the new covenant that the writer of Hebrews is going to get into in chapter 8, so this new covenant has a great high priest, or a high priest. And this high priest is eternal. The new covenant is called an everlasting covenant. Well, if it is an everlasting covenant, it must have an everlasting priest. And that everlasting priest, our high priest, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us here this evening. We're going to sing a hymn, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.